This is the true word of God.
The word of God is true.
I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book. So I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. When you get there, say amen. Matthew chapter 7. Yep. Amen. Got three people ready. Rest of y'all ready? Matthew chapter 7, let's go to verse number 7. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Amen? In verse 7, Jesus continues to give the multitude of people, to include his disciples, okay, some guidance on how to experience kingdom living while we are here on this earth, okay? Some guidance, amen. And he gave them three things to do to experience kingdom living, okay? Gave them three things. Number one, he told them to ask. Number two, he told them to seek. And number three, he told them to knock. And we found out that over the last couple of weeks that he was telling them to ask God, how to seek God, and when it comes to knock, he's talking about entering into God's presence, okay, entering into God's presence, okay, and then like 2 weeks ago, we talked about asking, and we found out that there is a right way to ask, and there is a wrong way to ask, and I gave many examples of the right way to ask, and one of the ways to ask was we talked about in James chapter 4, okay, when the Bible says when you ask in a mist. In other words, people ask, you know, selfishly, you know, for their own lust, okay? People don't care about no one else. They're asking just for their own selfish pride, okay? The Bible says you have not because you ask not, and when you ask amiss, okay? In other words, you know, that you consume it in your lust. So we're asking for the wrong reason. And then we talk about seek, okay? Seeking last week, Jeremiah 29:13 says, when we seek God, we will find him if we seek him with all our heart. In other words, wholeheartedly. In other words, God must be my number one. I must be solely dependent upon, solely focused on, solely living according to God and his word, living in obedience, okay? When I seek him with my whole heart, it means my complete self. Not just when I want something, but seek him. Why? Because the Bible tells us that we should seek the Lord. We saw the scripture in Acts last week. Y'all still with me? Amen, amen, amen. So he's telling us to ask God. He's telling us to seek God. And he's showing us how to enter into his presence in these scriptures. And you probably say, well, Pastor, I don't see all of that in my Bible. So how do you know, how can you stand up there and say that he's talking about God? Well, the reason I know he's talking about God is because of the next few verses. Look at verse number 8. Verse 8 says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be open. It says, or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will God, when he say he's talking about God, will God give him a stone? Or if he ask for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your father, and he's very specific of which father he's talking about, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him. Do y'all see that? Amen. So Jesus is talking about asking God, okay? Jesus is talking about seeking God, and Jesus is talking about knocking or entering into God's presence. And as I mentioned to you last week, there is a right way to do things and there is a wrong way to do things. And today we're going to talk about the right way to enter into God's presence. The right way to enter into God's presence, okay? Because contrary to unpopular belief, we can't just enter into God's presence any way we want to. Y'all still with me? There's a right way and a wrong way to enter into God's presence, you know, because there is joy in God's presence. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, the Bible tells us in the 16th Psalm, as a matter of fact, verse 11, it says, in his presence, there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. I remember we used to sing a song, evermore I will love you, evermore. The song, you remember the song? Amen, amen, amen. Evermore. In his presence there is fullness of joy. In his right hand, amen, amen, forevermore. Amen. I believe they have it on you. Oh, no, they didn't bring it on the screen for you, okay? Pleasures forevermore. So it's the best place to be is in the presence of God. Now, Pastor, what exactly is the presence of the Lord? What do you mean by getting into God's presence? Because I have to know what it is because I might not want to get into his presence. So it's good to know because there's power in knowing. Even in Hosea 4:6, the Bible tells us that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they reject knowledge. So it's always good to know. So if there's a right way to enter into God's presence, Pastor, I first need to know what God's presence consists of. Well, how many of you know God's presence is a place of comfort? In God's presence, it's a place of peace. In God's place, in God's presence, there's a place of assurance. Not doubt, but assurance. Y'all still with me? In God's place, there's a place of protection. Protection in his presence. Regardless of what's going on in the world, regardless of what's going on around us, when we are in his presence, we feel protected. Why? Because the Bible says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it, and they are what? Safe. Y'all still with me? Amen. So there's joy in his presence. Amen. It's a place of peace. It's a place where we can go regardless of what's going on in this world. Regardless of what's going on in our personal lives, it's a place where we can go, amen, and know that everything is going to be all right. Everything. Everything is going to be all right. Everything is going to turn out all right in his presence. A few weeks ago, if you all remember, we talked about Psalm 91:1. What did Psalm 91:1 say? 91:1 say? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Almighty, of the Most High, shall abide under the what? Shadow of the Almighty. And listen to this. I like that verse because don't you know that shelters move? Have you ever been outside in the shade because of the shadow of the tree? And next thing you know, where am I hot? Well, the shadow moves all the way over there somewhere. So now you have to go over to where the shadow or the shade is. Isn't that amazing? I mean, God loves shade. He loves shadow. But Pastor, how do you know that? Because there's another verse in the Bible that talks about the mustard seed. You know, the Bible tells us that the mustard seed is a small seed, you know, but how many of you know it's still a seed? And the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that the seed is in the seed. So it doesn't matter how small the seed is, if you plant the seed and fertilize the seed, it's going to grow into something bigger than the seed. And when it comes to the mustard seed, the Bible tells us it grows so big that the birds are able to get in the trees and be covered under the shadow of the tree that was produced by the seed. Are y'all all right this morning? Amen. Well, I mean, you know, back to the shadow. God's shadow does not move. When we are under the shadow of the Almighty, his shadow is not going to leave here and go to Pizza Hut. His shadow is going to be right where you are. Why? Because God is everywhere. Amen. So he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So God's shadow does not move. In other words, when I'm under the shadow of God, I am in his presence. And as we've always said, I already said, in his presence there's fullness of joy. At his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Are y'all still with me? Amen, amen, amen. That word secret place means a spiritual place. It's not a place where you can go hide. It's a spiritual place in God. Amen. So there is victory in God's presence. There is comfort, there is joy, I've already said it, in God's presence. Let me give you an example of God's presence. I want you to go to Isaiah 41. See, I have to know what it is, because if I don't know what it is, I might not want to go get into his presence. Isaiah 41, amen. Hallelujah. Isaiah 41. This is an example of his presence. The Bible says in chapter 41, look at verse number 9. Isaiah to the children of Israel. He says, from God, he said, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. He says in verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, yeah. I will help you, yeah. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Yeah. That's what God would do. Y'all still with me? That's in his presence. Yeah, see. He said, I'm with you. In the book of Psalms, chapter 34, we're not going to go there. King David was going through a situation, and he told us in Psalm 34, he said, I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. How many know when he said, I sought the Lord, that means that he said, I had to get into God's presence. I had to get into his presence. I sought the Lord, he heard, and he answered. Y'all still with me? See, that's more than just a song that we sing on Sunday morning. That's a scripture. And how many know a lot of songs that we sing on Sunday morning, it's scripture. In his presence, there is fullness of joy at his right hand. You all be singing and quoting scriptures you don't even realize. Y'all still with me? Amen. So we as Christians today can enter into God's presence, but we must enter into his presence the right way. You know, because in some cases we might think we're in his presence and we might not be. We must enter the right way. Amen. So it is a privilege and an honor for us today to be able to enter into God's presence, because at one point in time, all of mankind could not enter into God's presence. Y'all still with me? After Moses after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, mankind became spiritually separated from God. We talked about this in the resurrection series. I'm not going to get deep into that. You know, they became the only person who could go into the Holy of Holies, okay, in God's presence was the high priest. who used to go in there once a year to take the blood of the animals, goats, and calves and sprinkle it on the mercy seat, okay, to cover the sins of Israel for 1 year, okay? The high priest was the only one who could go into the Holy of Holies where God was, into God's presence. That's why people used to have to go to the priest, you know, to tell the priest their business and hope the priest tell God. And some priests, people still do that today. They go to the priest because they don't realize that Jesus changed some things along the way. Y'all still with me this morning? Amen. So because of what Jesus did, now we as Christians who have accepted him as Lord and Savior, and if you have not accepted him, you can accept him today. We have access to God's presence through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have access to the Father. The Bible tells us that. Through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor, how did Jesus give us access? Well, how many of you know? I'm glad that you asked that question. Go with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. We have access. We don't have to go through the priest. We can if we want to, but we can go to God through Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10. Are y'all all right this morning? Amen. Don't worry. I'm gonna show you how to do it the right way. But I have to first explain to us, you know, what it is, because some people might not want to go in there the right way. They might want to try to break into the back door. Y'all still with me? Hebrew. I know y'all still with me. That's something I'd like to say. Amen. Hebrews. I've said it so many times, Andrew, I cannot say it. Y'all still with me? Sister Lila's sister and brother-in-law, last time I saw them, they came to visit, and they brought a shirt and gave it to me. And it says, "We still with you." Amen. They're streaming right now because they always stream. Amen. So I appreciate you all. Hebrews chapter 10. Look at what the Bible say here. It's talking about Jesus. Amen. I have to look at the clock because time is moving on. It's talking about Jesus. Verse 12 said, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sit down on the right hand of God." I'm reading verse 12. "Sit down on the right hand side of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever," that's the word ever again, that's the third time I've seen that word, "forever," okay, "them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, 'This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more.'" Okay, why? Because the blood of Jesus cleanses us from sin. "Will I remember no more? Will I remember no more?" Listen to this, Christian. That means that if you messed up in life and you repented, you know, repent means to turn away. You go to God and repent and you turn away from it, okay? You can't let the things that you did in the past haunt you, because you've already gave it to Jesus. You've already asked for forgiveness. You've already repented, you know. But Satan like to bring you back. "Well, remember, you ain't always been this way. Remember back in the day when you did this?" And then people get depressed about what they did 15 years ago. Like I always say, they call the past, because it's the past. Y'all still with me? The blood of Jesus cleanses us from sin. Okay, I'm moving on. Y'all don't want me to say that. Y'all want to stay depressed. Okay, no problem. Amen, amen. Here we go. I'm just joking. Here we go. So listen, this is the Bible says here. This is what it says. It says, verse 13, 19, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness." Good God, man. Look what the Bible says. "Having boldness." You know what that word boldness means? It means sure confidence. In other words, I can't be afraid to go to the presence of God. I have to go to him with boldness, with a sure confidence. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ did for me over 2,000 years ago. He made the way that where I can go into God's presence. So the Bible says, once again, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of who? Jesus. You know, Matthew chapter 27, you know, we saw it for those of us who came to the resurrection, you know, classes. You know, in Matthew 27, the Bible says when they crucified Jesus, Jesus said it is finished and gave up the ghost. The Bible said the veil was split in two. Okay. Now there was not a veil on the cross, but you know, the veil that is talking about is because of Adam and Eve's sin. That's why I told you back in the Old Testament, the high priest used to have to go into the tabernacle, to the Holy of Holies, and there was a big, thick curtain that separated God from man, where man could not enter into past that curtain. In other words, they couldn't go into the presence of the Lord because of sin. But when Jesus gave his life, so you and I can have life, the Bible says that the veil was torn in twain. Well, what that means is that now we can go to God's presence through Jesus. I'm telling you, I'm glad I can go to God's presence through Jesus. Amen. Because if I try to go to a man, he might put my stuff on Facebook. Y'all still with me? I'm glad I can go through Jesus. Amen. So because of Jesus, because we have accepted him as Lord and Savior, and if you're streaming online, if you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you can do it today. It don't cost you nothing. Because of what we have done, because of the birth, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, we can enter into God's presence. But when we enter into God's presence, we must enter in the right way. Because there is a right way and there is a wrong way. Well, Pastor, what's the right way? You keep talking about right way, right way, right way. You've been talking about it for the last 3 weeks. What is the right way? Well, I'm glad that Tony X Perlow. Amen, amen, amen. The right way. One of the right ways to enter into God's presence is that we must, first step is to enter in through the door. We must enter in through the door. Not through the window, not through the back door, but the main door. Listen, not through the chimney. We must enter in through the main door. Y'all still with me? You know. And if we enter into the main door by knocking, and it's not knocking with your hand, it's by speaking. Father, in Jesus' name. Romans 10:9 says, if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God raised me from the dead, I shall be saved. Okay? So you got to knock with your heart by accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. But once I accept him, now I can enter in through the door, and the door is Jesus. I must go through Jesus first. Because the way to get to God is through Jesus. John 14, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's what Jesus said. I believe Jesus. No man cometh to the Father by me. Now listen to this. There are many people in this world who are professing and confessing that they are Christians, and they've never came through the door. Well, listen to this. If they have never come through the door, Jesus, they're deceiving their own selves. See, everybody that comes to churches in the world might not be Christians. They just might be coming because mom made me go when I was little, so I'm going now. The only way to become a Christian is that we must accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's the Christian way. People say, well, you know, we all going to end up in the same place. I'm not going to end up where you are. Unless Jesus is your Lord and Savior. We must go through Jesus, And once again, the reason why people think they're Christians is because they come to church. And listen, coming to church does not make anyone a Christian. Some people think water baptism makes them a Christian. Water baptism doesn't make a person a Christian. If a person have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then when they get into the water, they just taking a bath without soap. Water baptism is symbolic. It shows that you have given your life to Jesus. It shows an outward sign that you are dying to self. That's what happens when they put you in the water. They don't just put you in there because they want you to be cold. It's like you're being buried. And you're being raised in newness of life. That's what water baptism is. But that doesn't save anyone. But what brings salvation is by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Should we get baptized? Yeah, we should get baptized because Jesus got baptized. John said, Jesus, I can't baptize you, you know, because, you know, your shoes you wearing. Jesus said, allow it to be so. See? Y'all all right this morning? All this stuff not in my nose. This is coming through. We need to be baptized. Well, Pastor, what happens if I give my life to Jesus? I accept him in my heart, confess with my mouth, and now he comes to live in me. And I'm on my way to the baptism pool. And before I get there, before someone get there, say there's an accident, and the person who is going to get baptized in the water, let's just say for the sake of, for an example, I know this is bad. Yeah, I'll just pray for Pastor Juan. But let's say they get killed on the way going to the baptism. Does that mean they're not going to heaven? No. Because they gave their life to Jesus. It happened on the inside. And the water baptism just showing the outside that I'm not the same. I'm dying to self, being raised in the newness of life. Y'all all right? Amen. But people say that they are Christians because they come to church. But they've never gone through the door. And Jesus tells us in Matthew, you don't have to go there, chapter 7, the same chapter we started with, around the 20th verse, he said, it's not those who say, but those who do. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Lord, Lord, did we do mighty works in your name? And Jesus said, he going to say to them, I never knew you. And listen to this. Christus, amen. Study this on your own. Don't take my word for it. That verse is not talking about Christians. It's talking about people who never accepted him in the first place. People who think they are Christians, but they never went through the door. Study yourself. I used to wonder, if I accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, because when I was young, I had all kinds of questions. That's why I don't have no hair. I'll probably word it out. And a lot of things in the Bible, I used to wonder, I didn't understand. It don't make no sense. How could he say he never knew me when he came into my life? How can he say that? Then I found out by studying to show myself approved, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly divine the word of truth. I figured he can't say, and somebody said, well, he said, I don't know you no more. It's all kind of stuff out there that people just make up. So, got to go to the door. Go to John 10. That verse is not talking about Christians. He said people who say. He said people will say to me. He never said I will say to them. He said they will say to me. See, somebody just got relieved. I just don't. Christians now. I don't want Jesus to say he never knew me. Christians. You can't say he don't never knew you because you accepted him as your Lord and Savior. Anyway, okay, I'm going away from that. That's another lesson for another day. John 10. So Jesus is given a parable about the door and the sheep, you know. And the disciples are just as confused as a spinning top. They don't have a clue of what this parable is about. Verse 6 says, this parable spoke Jesus to them, but they understood not what things they were, which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. Do y'all see that? I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. Okay? But the sheep did not hear them. All that came before me are thieves and robbers. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in the door. If any man enter in the door, because he's talking about himself, I am the door. If any man enter in the door, he shall be saved and shall go green and out and find, lay me down in the green pastures. He said, go in and out and find pastures. He said, I'm the door. If any man, listen to this, any man means any man. That means salvation is for whoever want to be saved. Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever. So the door is open to everyone. Okay. And a lot of people have snuck through the window. And they think they're saved. I have to go through Jesus. He's the door. Y'all still with me? He is the door. And then he talks about if you go over to verse 10, this way he says, the thief coming not but for to steal, kill, and destroy.
God, I just saw something there. Look at what he said here. He said, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Look at verse 8. He said, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. And then he said, the thief. Who's the thief? Who's the thief? Yeah, everybody say Satan, yeah. Don't you know what? Satan is not the only thief. He's not the only thief. Yeah, he is a thief. But verse 8 said, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. That means there's some more thieves out there. You have people in this world who comes to church. They say they're Christians, but they come in here, churches, to cause problems because they're trying to kill people spiritually. They're trying to steal from people spiritually, and they're trying to destroy people. Thieves. Because they came in the wrong way. They didn't go through Jesus. They just came in to cause havoc in the church. And that's why a lot of people leave the church. Why? Because they said they've been church hurt by some thieves and some robbers. I'm moving on. You get it at 2 o'clock in the morning. Let's meditate. Amen. See, everybody that comes into the church is not, didn't go through Jesus. That means everyone who comes into the church is not saved. They're coming to cause problems in the church. Drama. But how many know Word of Knowledge Ministries is immune to drama? We don't allow it. Tell people, if you're looking for drama, he went out the back door. I'd rather have two people. This is not even in my notes. I'd rather have two faithful people in church than to have 500 dramatized people, causing problems. And don't you know that God will move
the drama people out. The pastors don't have to do anything. God will take care of it. Beware the thief and the robber. Okay, y'all ready? Y'all still with me? That was a bonus. He says, I am come that they might have life. So Jesus, the door is all about life. So I have to enter into the door because the door gives me life. Not just any old kind of life, but abundant life. See, many people think they are saved, but the head thief has lied to them. And then the Bible says that the head thief, you know, is really what John talks about when the Bible says, you are of your father, the devil. He told the Pharisees. The same thing Satan does, you will do. Like father, like son, like daughter. Beware of the thief. Because Jesus said they try to enter in some other kind of way. They don't come to the door. They come with their own motive through the window. Are y'all still with me? When they come through the window, when they come through your window, just sit the lion on them. A lion? What do you mean lion? The Lion of Judah. There might be some people in here now that are church heard. I don't know. It's possible. If it's you, share your testimony with me. Maybe. People don't go to church for drama. But there are a lot of people in church that did not go through the door. That's why they act the way they do. Okay, I'm moving on. Amen. We must enter the right way. Listen to this. We must enter his presence with reverence through prayer. We must enter through reverence and reverence through prayer. Pastor, what do you mean about that? What do you mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is that we must show honor and respect to God when we go to him in prayer, to enter into his presence. Can't go in any kind of way. We must respect who God is. We can't go in there like, hey man. You know, I've heard people say over the years, you know, he's the man upstairs. No, he ain't no man upstairs. He's God. I'm going to the man upstairs. He can fix it. What's the man's name upstairs? He is Jehovah Jireh, and he deserves our glory. He deserves glory. He deserves honor. He deserves respect. He deserves to be reverenced. He deserves for us to lift him up, not just anytime, but always. Why? Because he is God, and he is God alone, and there is no other. Y'all still with me? We must go to God and reverence him. We go to God in prayer. We must reverence him through prayer. We can't go to God, you know, Father, in Jesus' name, your word says that I can have the desires of my heart. We better be careful with how we go to God. People say, when you go to God, you know, you say, Father, your word says, well, you better be careful of how you talking to him. Don't be going to no attitude like he owe you something. Well, your word says. God know what his word says. Now, you know, if we just go in and to be humble, Father God, you know, I saw in your word, you know, it said you could do this, you know, that's fine. But we going to God demanding something. Father, your word says that I can have it. You know, what? You know who you're talking to? Elamon John, you preached for a lot of years. You was a pastor for a lot of years. Have you ever seen a scripture in the Bible where somebody went to God and said, Father, your word, say, like they was mad with God and they trying to tell him what his word said? Yeah, I ain't never seen it either. That's one of those things that religious people make up. When you go to God, tell him what his word says. You better go to God and be humble. Because he deserves respect. He deserves honor. We need to realize that we need to humble ourselves when we go to God. We can't go in any kind of way, all puffed up in pride. Father, your word, what? You might not get a chance to finish that sentence. I'm just telling you, because we have to do these things the right way. The right way. You know, Jesus, you know, the disciples, they saw John's disciples, they were, praying, and they asked Jesus, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. In other words, Jesus, teach us the right way to pray. And Jesus taught them the right way to pray. I want you to go to Luke chapter 11. Luke 11. You got to go to God the right way. The right way. Teach us to pray. This series of scriptures is very familiar to many of us because many people call it the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer. And they think that when they pray, they have to say everything just like it's said here. But what they don't realize is that what we call the Lord's Prayer is an outline to follow when we pray. It's an outline. The disciples said, Jesus, teach us to pray. So Jesus is teaching them how to pray. It is an outline for us to teach us how to pray. Now, Pastor, can I pray the Lord's Prayer? Well, yeah, you can pray. If you want to, you can. You can say the exact same words Jesus said. But it is an outline to follow when we pray. In other words, Jesus gave them instructions on how to pray the right way. Y'all still with me? Look at what he said here, Luke chapter 11. One of the disciples says, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. Look at what Jesus said. Are you there? 11:2. Look at what he said. And he said unto them, when you pray, do what? Say. See, people pass right over that. When you pray, do what? Say. Well, based on what Jesus is saying here, if I'm not saying, I'm not praying. Because when you pray, do what? I mean, I have to say something. What was the lady? Was it Hannah who wanted to have a child? And, she was murmuring, her mouth was moving, and they thought she was drunk. She was praying. Christian, y'all ready? There is no such thing in the Bible. Now, I'm talking about the Bible now. I'm talking about in the Bible. There is no such thing in the Bible as a silent prayer if you're not saying something. There's no such thing. Let's pause for a moment of silence. That's not praying. That's silence. You know, when I think about that, you know, I think about going to a restaurant or Popeye's chicken or other places to get some food. And you're standing there and the waitress or whoever, or waiter, you don't have to be a waitress, it could be a waiter, or whoever's serving, they ask you, can I help you? And we are standing there or sitting in our cars thinking about what we want. Sir, can I help you? And I'm thinking about this three-piece spicy ma with red beans and rice. Sir, excuse me, can I help you? Pretty soon, she was at that guy at the door. He's crazy. I'm asking him what he wants, and he just wants me to read his mind. Well, we know God can read our mind, but Jesus said, when you pray, say. So I have to say something. A moment of silence is not prayer. Number one, I'm going to say something. Y'all still with me? So he says, okay, this is how you do it. When you pray, say, our Father, which art in where? Heaven. Hallowed be thy what? Name. What did he just do? He reverenced God. He gave him honor. He gave him glory. He didn't say our Father who's back in the kitchen. He specifically let God know you are the God of heaven and earth. Our God who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That word hallowed shows honor, shows respect, it shows reverence to who we are talking to. The right way to enter. Can't go to God, Father, in Jesus' name, my car broke down. Your word says that I can have the desire of my heart. I'm praying, God, that you send me the money to get my car fixed. Amen. The Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayer availeth much. The word effectual, fervent meaning energetic and sincere. If I'm going to God for selfish reasons and don't even recognize who, don't even give him the honor he deserves, you know, people do that sometimes. They want something, they go, hey, can you help me? Wait a minute, hold on, brother. Can you just at least say, good afternoon, how you doing? Respect. So Jesus said, hallowed be thy name. Now, keep in mind, he's teaching them how to pray because that's what they asked him. Hallowed be thy name. And then he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In other words, God, not my will, God, but your will. It's your will, God. In other words, you are higher than I am. You are more supreme than I am. It's not my will, God, it's your will. That's honor. That's honor. He said, once again, thy kingdom come, your will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Not my will, God, but your will. Not my way, God, but your way. He's referencing God. He's referencing God. And then he said, give us this day our daily bread. Now he's asking for something. But he reverenced him first. And Christians, look at what else he said. Uh-oh, y'all ready? Now he's teaching us how to pray. Look at what he said the right way. He said, and forgive us our what? Sin. In other words, whenever I go to God in prayer, I need to ask for forgiveness of my sin. Every time. See, sometimes we want something so bad, we forget about our sins. We forget about what we did last night, yesterday, 2 weeks ago, 3 months ago. The Bible says the blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sins, so we need to ask God to remove that. We got to go to God, you know, the right way. God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. We need to go to God in a fashion of holiness. And we have carrying all this garbage. We can't go to God like that. Look at it from a natural point of view. Before you all go out to a show or something, what's the first thing you do? You take a bath, right, so you can be clean. We go to God, we need to ask for forgiveness so he can cleanse us. Y'all still with me? Look at what else Jesus told them. He's teaching them how to pray. Look at what else he said here. He said, first of all, and forgive us our sins, for we also do what? Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Forgive us our sin, for we also forgive everyone that has sinned against us. Uh-oh. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus said, have faith in God. You know, speak to the mountain, and it shall be moved and cast into the sea. And you shall have whatsoever you say. When you pray, believe that you receive it, and you shall have it. And most people remember that verse, but they don't remember the next verse. The next verse says, and when you stand praying, forgive. Because if you do not forgive, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. And a lot of people have gone to God in prayer, and they're wondering why their prayer is not being answered. Well, maybe one of the reasons it's not answered is because they are holding unforgiveness in their heart, and God does not honor unforgiveness. So Jesus said, when you pray, forgive and forgive others. Go ask God for something we hold unforgiveness in our heart. Or somebody did something to us 15 years ago. We should be saying, create in me a clean heart. Another one. And then he said, lead us not into temptation. God, we can't do it on our own. We always messing up. So God, we ask that you would lead us away from the temptation. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from what? Evil. Now, I want you to go. So, here we go. First of all, he went to God speaking. Number two, he reverenced God. Y'all still with me? He reverenced God. God, you are in charge, not me. You are. Your kingdom come, your will be done, not mine. And then, you know, he said, give us our day. And then he said, forgive us our sins. And then he said, God, as we forgive us. Notice, Jesus said, he told God to forgive us our sin. And then he said, as we forgive others. In other words, God will not, I'm not going to say he cannot, he can do whatever he want to do, but God will not do our unforgiving for us. We need to do it ourselves. Maybe it didn't make sense the way I said it. God forgives, we have to forgive. Elder Davis cannot go to Earlene to say, I know Pastor Ron did something bad to you, and he's holding unforgiveness in his heart, Earlene, but I'm going to stand in his place, and I'm going to forgive him. I'm going to forgive you for him. No, you can't do that. You have to do it yourself. And a lot of Christians walking around, holy, King of Kings, holy, and holding unforgiveness in their heart. And they know it's they're holding in their heart. That's not going to go out and pray the right way. Might as well not go, because the Bible says, if I don't forgive others, my Heavenly Father would not forgive me. In other words, Jesus is saying, the prayer you prayed in Mark, your unforgiveness just erased everything you asked for. Now, he can still bless you if he wants to, because he's God. Y'all all right this morning? Go to Matthew 6:13. Matthew. Because it's the same prayer, just something else is added. The same prayer. Similar to the same prayer. Matthew 16. We got to reverence God. Can't go to God any kind of way. Matthew 6. It's Jesus again. The door is talking. Look at what he said. Matthew 6. Look at verse 9. He said, after this manner, therefore, this is how you pray. He's telling them this is how you do. He said, pray ye. This is how you pray. He says, our Father, which art in heaven. Same way he started off the prayer in Luke, right? Same exact. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We need to do it. God, you forgive us, but we need to forgive others. Because you can't forgive others for us. Now, you forgive them, but if I'm holding it in my heart, if they're forgiven by someone else, that has nothing to do with me. I'm still holding it in my heart. I have to forgive. Y'all still with me? Now, notice, I know I've already said this, but I'm trying to drive this home. Notice all of this is connected to how to pray to God the right way. How to pray to God. We have to go to God the right way. Okay? We can't go in there with sin. That's why in the Old Testament, only the high priest was able to go into the Holy of Holies. No one else could go. Why? Because of sin. Can't go to God with sin. Unless you're going to ask for forgiveness. The high priest was probably sinning too, but listen. For God so loved the man so much, he at least allowed somebody to come in there until he sent Jesus. Because the high priest was a man just like you and I. That shows how much God loved us. Don't you know God could have just, once Adam and Eve sinned, God could have just said, that's it, I'm not creating man no more. Even those guys, you know, with the Nephilims and, you know, how people you're trying to build up a ladder or trying to build a ladder or something to get to heaven. Man was so evil. But God still loved us so much. That's why we're still sitting here now, and he sent Jesus. Like that song say, that's love. People singing the song, don't even know what they're singing. Okay, I'm moving on. Okay, my time is almost up today. Y'all know this. Amen. Let's continue next week. Okay, amen. So where are we at? Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. We need your help, God. But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses. There it is again. If you forgive man their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Isn't it amazing how all of that is connected to praying? Now, something's missing in those prayers. Something's missing. What's missing? Well, let me tell you what's missing. Jesus is the one who's telling them, teaching them how to pray. If Jesus is teaching them how to pray, that must mean that Jesus has not been resurrected yet. He's teaching them, but he hasn't been resurrected yet. But because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because we have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because he gave his life so we could have life, because he went down to hell so we would not have to go if we accept him, because he paid the penalty for your sins and mine, the sins of the past and the sins of the future. Because as long as we live in this world, Christians, we're going to mess up. No one's perfect. Jesus is the only one. And that's what helped me when I rededicated my life back to Jesus. I accepted Jesus at a young age. I left Jesus because I didn't have any word in me. I used to go to church to feel good like a lot of people do today. And when Satan started attacking me, I turned away from God for many, 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 many years. And I stopped serving God. Why? Because I didn't have any word in me. I knew Jesus died on the cross. That's about all I knew. But when I rededicated my life, I started doing some study. I found out more about Jesus, more about this Christian life, more about God, more about the fact that it's not just showing up at church, but it's about life. And Jesus gave his life so I could have life. And when I realized all of those things, now I can understand why Jesus said, ask the Father anything in my name, and he shall give, and I shall give, or he shall give it to you, I shall give it to you, but he's talking about the Father, in my name. So what was added is when we go to God in prayer, we go to God and we close the prayer out in the name of Jesus. That's what Jesus tells us to do in the book of John, chapter 14 and 16. Ask in my name. So number one, we go to God and say something. Number two, we reverence God for who he is. Number three, we can ask for something. Number four, we ask God to forgive us. Number five, we forgive others. We can't go to God in prayer and leave with unforgiveness in our heart. But Pastor, it's hard to forgive people sometimes. Well, ask God to help you. Why are you praying? Number six, we tell him it's his will, not our will. Number seven, we remind him that it's not our kingdom, it's his kingdom. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. The right way to pray. And you know what else? My time is up. Stand to your feet and give God a hand of praise because he's worthy. Part two next week.